welcome to the Influence Persuasion Mastery Call. This is Kurt Mortensen today. We are live on the 13th of June, 2012. I want to make sure we get to all your questions, whether you are online or on a replay or live over the phone. Doesn't matter, as long as we're able to, you know, obviously take your questions and be able to take things to the next level. That's the whole goal here. I am in Vegas today doing some training, but freed up some time to do the call and want to address some things that have been coming up as far as questions and what students have been asking me as far as persuasion and influence. That is the goal. That's what we want to talk about today. And, of course, later on we'll take any questions you have, give you some homework, walk you through what the goals, just to give you a few tools, and then you'll be able to apply those tools. So I'm in Vegas doing some presentations. And people always ask me, well, is there a formula to presentations? And I've watched a lot of presentations, and I evaluate a lot of videos, because anybody can do a presentation, but is it persuasive? Anybody can inform, but is it influential? Anybody can communicate, but can they really convince people? That's kind of the difference in what we need to talk about today. So let me give you some formulas here. So we talk about communicating to win. What does that presentation formula really look like? So on your notes, hopefully you're taking notes here, the write 1 through 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we'll talk about each one. So you can kind of structure a presentation, whether it's in front of one person, whether it's in front of an audience, whether it's over the phone, it doesn't matter. A presentation is a presentation. Now, a lot of times people in sales will call it a pitch. We really don't like that word. You are presenting, and you need to make it persuasive. Because anybody can do a data dump. Anybody can vomit. But what is it that makes it persuasive? So 1 through 5. Now, the first one, let's do number 5 first. That is your call to action. That is the most important piece. That is what you do first. Now, you don't deliver it first. You create it first. What do you want them to do? Do you want them to say, yes, I want to join. Yes, I want your product. Yes, I want a trial. Yes, I want you to coach me. Whatever it is, what do you want them to do? You can't really create a presentation unless you do that first. The challenge is most people do that last. And it's delivered last, but you need to create it first. What is your ultimate call to action? And we'll get back to that, but I want to just point out how important it is. That is the very first thing you do. Even though you deliver it last, what good's your presentation if they're not doing what you want them to do? Nothing's worse, as I see presenters out there, and people come up to them and say, great presentation, thank you, but they don't do what you're asking them to do. They don't give you a credit card. They weren't persuaded. You moved them with your stories and your emotions, but they didn't get off the fence. So that would be number 5. So let's go up to the top. So the first thing you want to do out of your presentation is create interest. Create interest. That is your what's in it for me. This is about 10% of your presentation. This is your job to capture their attention, reveal your topic. Now you want to say, today I'm going to talk about, or, you know, let them know what you're going to do. Establish maybe a little credibility and goodwill if you can during that time. Because think about it, you've been to presentations before. It could be over the phone, it could be face-to-face, one-on-one, in front of an audience. It doesn't matter. You've been to those before. You give them about 30 seconds before you decide if you're really going to listen to them. And that's important. You've got to grab their attention. How can you create interest? What's in it for them? Why should they care? Why should they listen? And, of course, during that time, that 10%, can you establish any credibility as the expert, as a consultant? Can you do that? That's your goal, right up front. You've got to grab their attention. If they're not listening, you can't persuade them. If they're not interested, you can't persuade them. If you are just data dumping, it's not persuasive. So this is the very first part, create interest. That's number one. Okay? Now, when you do that, some things that you can do is maybe a startling fact. Did you know that 20% of all people will. Did you know that the average American will make $1.5 million in their life, but only 3% are ready for a retirement? It could be a personal experience or a story can grab attention. It could be a question. Have you ever thought about why you're not spending enough time with your family? Have you ever thought about why you didn't have any energy? It could be a statistic that could really take them off guard, that could throw them. So just something, those are great openers, a fact or statistics that's startling. Could be a story that grabs their attention. It could be rhetorical or even a question. Those all work very, very well. That's create interest. So that's number one. Number two is you want to state the problem. Okay, here's the problem. You as a persuader, your problem solver. What's the problem? Not spending enough time with family. They're not being healthy. They're not ready before retirement. They're working at a job they don't like. They're not happy enough. What is the problem here? What is the challenge? They're not persuasive enough. Whatever. What's the problem? What's the challenge? What's the issue? You have to state it right up front. Okay, here's the challenge. And if you establish your credibility, you are the problem solver. So state the problem. It's really simple. Here's the issue. Here's the challenge. Here's the problem. And then when you present the problem, you need to kind of paint a picture of the end result. So if they don't change their health, if they do get fired, if they don't change internet providers, I mean, whatever it is, you have to, okay, what's going to happen if you don't make any changes? That's number two. Number three is offer evidence. Okay, what are the evidence you have? How do you know this? Usually it'll probably be a study or a statistic or maybe in a personal experience. Here's the evidence that you have. That's a simple part. Number four, you present the solution. Remember, you're problem solvers. Here's the solution. Here's how you're going to solve that. This is why you need to drive this car, have this photocopier, have this home-based business, why you need to drink or take this nutritional type product, whatever it is. Here's the solution. And then number five is your call to action. So just repeat. Number one is create interest. Number two, state the problem. Number three is offer evidence. Number four is present a solution. And number five is the call to action. Okay, that will keep it as simple as possible. Okay, now I just had a question come in via the net. Let's address that as far as how long the call to action should be. Now, this is the interesting part. Your create interest, your introduction is only about 10%. Your call to action, your conclusion, is around 5%. And that shocks people, but a good conclusion, a good call to action is about 5%. And I've used this example before, ladies. If you know, someone's asking you out on a date, and you know they're going to ask you out on a date, and they come up to you, and you say, yeah, you know, you're thinking you'll go out with them, that'll be all right. When they talk about the weather, when they talk about their sports teams, they talk about something stupid. 20 minutes later, you're like, really? Because it's nervous for guys to ask girls out or vice versa. And so instead of taking the 2 minutes, they prolong it to 20 minutes, and you get the opposite result. So only 5%. Remember, you're persuading the whole time. It shouldn't shock them you're going to ask them to do business with them. It shouldn't shock them that you ask them to get their credit card. It doesn't shock. It's just quick to the point. It's easy. I mean, you want it to say, your prospect to say, well, great, how do I get started? What's the next step? What do I need to do? So about 5% is the number there. Got another question about the close or the call to action, whatever you want to call it. Here's a big complaint. Remember, I get to interview people after they've lied to you, after they've said no. Here's what tends to freak out your prospect. For some reason, and we all know why, when you get to the close, that call to action, you're going to ask for money, you're asked for their credit card, for some reason your demeanor changes. You get a little nervous, you ask for the money, and you're freaking them out a little bit because They're like, wait a minute, what happened to people skills person? They're all nervous, they're different, they're serious, what's going on? Remember, to the point, 5% don't change your demeanor at all. It's just, you're just going through it. Okay, very important. So 5%. Now, your call to action signals the end of your presentation. You're summarizing your main point. It's usually the emotional part. That's when you ask for their business. Now, what works best here? For most people, to get past that demeanor or that tenseness, maybe a little humor, a smile, something that you laugh about. It could be a story. Stories work very well right before you ask for the money. Humor, some type of story, tend to be the best. I mean, that's what you're looking for a conclusion, that call to action. But remember, on that call to action, you have to ask yourself, in the very beginning, what do you want them to do? Is it subscribe to a newsletter? Is it to order product? Is it do business? Is it do a free trial? Is it do a free consult? Is it do a webinar? It needs to be simple and easy. When you make what you want them to do too difficult, too hard, remember that an overwhelmed mind says no. A confused mind says no. And most people won't tell you, they don't get it, they don't understand. There's a whole ego and esteem thing going on. But they need to make it simple. I mean, look at things like, I don't know if you buy books off of Amazon. You know, I'm an avid reader, I buy a lot of books off of Amazon. They've created what's called an Amazon one click. Meaning you're looking at a book, click, bought, process, sold. Because we know on the internet that every page, every question, everything that you have somebody do, it decreases the chances that they're going to buy. So they have one button, boom, and there's no turning back. You click that, it's shipped, it's gone, it's in process. It's easy, it's simple, and it's done. Quick and easy. For example, I was went into a gym. And, people were working out. And when you walk into a gym, they had all their powders and their pills, and they were making smoothies. And he caught my eye, and I talked to him for a little bit, and I said, how's business? He says, it's okay. Wish it was better. I said, well, tell you what. You make me a smoothie, and I will give you something that will double your business. Now, to him, that was a no-brainer. He made me a smoothie. And just think about it. You're at the gym. How do you make it as easy as possible? You want people to buy. You want people to purchase. You want them to get smoothies. You want them to be healthy. Think about it. You're at their gym. You're working out. You're like, oh, I'd like a smoothie. Yeah, that sounds, oh, my wallet's in the car. That extra step of going to the car and getting your wallet and coming back in is enough. For most people, say, whatever. I'll just make one at home, or I'll get one on the way, or I'll do this. So I had them set people up on an account where they get X amount per month, and they could just put it to account. They didn't have to have their wallet with them. They could bring it in the next time. See, that was the type of thing that made a big difference. It was easy. It was simple. That's what we're looking for. Because if they put a ton of steps or a ton of paperwork, or it's so overwhelming, people's minds shut off. Another example, I was working with a financial consultant, and their focus was mutual funds. And if you don't know this or not, there's probably over 10,000, maybe even 100,000 different mutual funds, a lot of different mutual funds. So what he would do is he would sit down with the prospect and say, okay, let me tell you about your financial needs, what are you looking for, how much you want to retire with, and he'd do all the paperwork. And then he would finally say, okay, great, let me do some research. And they'd come back a week later, and I'm watching this. I'm sitting there in the chair watching this, and he says this. Well, according to your investment criteria, here are the 45 mutual funds that meet your criteria as far as an investor. Okay, too much, overwhelming, no. Brain can't handle that. In fact, the brain can only handle about 3 to 5. I'd recommend three options, three choices. Because when you get to your close, your call to action, you want to give people options. Because we like to be autonomous, right? We don't want to be told what to do. Now, when you give them two or three options, it actually opens the door to where they feel like they're making a choice. You don't care what they choose because they all work for you. For example, this elderly lady was told by her doctor she had to take her medication with dinner. She didn't. Her kids were concerned and she didn't take it. Take it with your dinner, she wouldn't do it. You know, a lot of times, even though we know we want it, people tell us to do it, we'll resist. So the kids were frustrated, took her to another doctor, and this doctor said, okay, we have this medication here. That's what we're going to do. Hey, you can either take it with your breakfast or dinner. Which one do you choose? Didn't matter. But she was able to choose, and it made a difference. What does that mean? Usually during a close or call to action, give them a few options. You don't care what they choose. They all win for you. Never more than three, maybe five. You start getting to 7, 8, 10, 12. It really screws people up. I mean, they've done studies where people were testing jam. Well, here are the 16 flavors. Test them out. Ooh, you can't do it. The brain can't handle that. Excuse me, I had a cough. They had people, when you smell perfume. I mean, after 3, 4, or 5, you're like, you just can't grasp the smell, the differences. So something to think about with your call to action is to have choices and pick 2 or 3 and make sure they all work for you. Very simple. Because if you tell them what they need to do, they'll believe you if you have trust and there's a connection. But if not, you need to give them options. Give them options. All right, so that's very important to understand when you do your call to action. Quick and easy and simple. Don't change your demeanor. Make sure it's easy, because if it's not, that's when you get, well, I'll think about it, talk to my spouse, more information, go to your website, brochure. As I've talked about before, those are lies 67% of the time. Now, another thing you want to look at your presentation, and I know we're running out of time here, is repetition. You've heard repetition's the mother of all learning, and there's some truth to that. But my motto's always been, okay, repetition's good, but you want to repackage. Meaning, you can repeat using a story, then use a statistic, and then maybe use an analogy. So you can repeat throughout, but it doesn't have to be exactly the same. That's my recommending, because it does increase awareness, understanding, and retention. So it's something to think about as you develop your presentation and as you look at your presentation. The other thing, too, to think about, too, when you do your construction here is, you know, a theme, a central idea works very, very well. You know, your time frame that you have is very important to understand. But you think about it. When you look at your constructing a speech, a good presentation, even good sales copy that we've talked about, is very conversational. And you need to be able to grab and keep their attention. And that is your goal. That's what I want you to do. So that is your formula. And we'll add more to this formula later on, but think about, again, grabbing their attention. Number one is create interest. Number two, what's the problem? You're a problem solver. Here's the evidence. Here's the solution. And here's the call to action. So what I want you to think about for your homework is I want you to come up with some choices. What are some choices that you can come up? Because some personalities, they don't want to be told what to do. Because you've talked to people before that wanted your product, needed your product, liked your product, could afford your product, but they still said no. They don't want to be told what to do. They want to be consulted. They want to be helped out. What are the two choices, at least two, can they choose? And you don't care which one they choose, and that's the thing with choices. Make sure there's 2 to 3. Make sure that they all win for you. But it makes them feel more autonomous to where they're making the decision. This works great for teenagers, too, where they get to make a decision. They feel like they have the freedom. But you don't care if they wash the dishes or mow the lawn, for example. They want to wash the dishes or mow the lawn. So they get to choose. You don't care. As long as they're doing one, they're doing something. Same thing's true in the world of persuasion. And the other side note, make sure you watch your demeanor. You're persuading the whole time. Your call to action is about 5% of your presentation. It's quick, it's easy, it's simple, and it makes a huge difference what you're able to do. All right, so that's what I want to work on. Think of choices. What are some of the choices? Even a simple thing, if it's your first phone call, might be, and they call this, actually in sales they call it the alternative closing. Well, can you talk Tuesday or Thursday? Now, you need to make sure it doesn't sound cheesy, that there's a connection there. Well, I have an opening on Tuesday or Thursday. It needs to sound believable. Otherwise, it will backfire on you. But that's the same type of thing. You want it green or red? You don't care. Do you want it shipped overnight or standard UPS? You don't care. They all win for you. Those are the type of things. When you have that connection and established a need and a want, it goes a long, long way. All right, with that, if you have any questions, you can either ask me over the phone or zap me through the net. Let's open it up for questions. Any questions about what we talked about today or things that you're running into?
Yes, this is Angela Dodd, and I have a question. Are we supposed to be developing a presentation that includes these 2 to 3 choices, or how are we supposed to approach this for our homework?
What is your product?
I distribute a line of isotonic supplements.
Okay.
So it is basically vitamin supplements, that sort of thing.
So when you talk to somebody over the phone, are you, most people over the phone, or is it through a webinar or a presentation? What is it?
Basically, I've just been doing kind of an email campaign. It's not necessarily doing it, talking live with anybody. That's been my approach.
Is that working for you, the email, or do you want to talk to them live?
I'd like to talk to them live, though. The email, is like anything else. People skip over it. So would like to talk with them live.
Okay. So when you're talking to them live, what would be the options? What is your ultimate goal? What do you want them to do? Do you want them to join the opportunity or take the product? Or do you care?
I don't care, really. Certainly more focused at this point on selling the product.
So isn't that the choice? And there's two things we can do here. You can either get started on the product and see a difference in your health and your energy and what you're able to do, or you can join the business and not only improve your health, but you can also make more money.
Okay.
Do you see where that choice comes in?
Yes,
we're not forcing them to either or. They have a choice. You have two options here. So both options win for you because now they're getting into the product, they're changing their health, they're feeling better. And then you might want to come back, maybe a month or two later with the opportunity. But then right now they can choose what they want to do. They get to decide in their mind. That's the type of thing that we're looking for. They want to start off. Are there, and with your opportunity, are there different levels or packages that they can join?
Not really. There's really just really one way to go to make it really worth the time and energy. So, yeah, there's really only one way to go if they're joining the opportunity. There are obviously a myriad of choices if they're just buying product, though.
Okay. Even with that, you say, divide the choice. A lot of times when you do provide choices, you can make one choice look so ridiculous, but you still give them a choice. Or you can do this, for an extra, $50 or 20 cents a day, you can have this, 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 and this. Now, if there's a myriad of choices with the product, you don't want to give them all those. You want to give them 2 or 3 options. Say, well, here are the options. You can have the health plan or this plan. This is going to help with this, this, and this, and give them those choices. But it sounds like we need to get more people to call you. Are you giving that option when you're talking to them or sending out the emails?
Well, that's how I would like to approach the email, that at least do kind of a mini presentation in the email and then ask them to call me so we can talk further about it.
Well, why would they call you?
They want to improve their health.
No, I'm just putting this out here to the whole group, actually. So you're a stranger. Why would they pick up the phone and call you? What's in your email that's to the point to where, yes, I need to call? Is it a free health consult? Do you have any free audio for 5 minutes of their time or 10 minutes of their time? You see where I'm getting at?
Yeah, I do see what you're getting at. My approach, though, was going to at least approach people via email that I've at least had some conversation with in terms of health and nutrition. So it wasn't going to necessarily be a cold call, you know.
And you could send them an assessment. You can say, hey, fill out this 5-question assessment. I've got a solution for you. You know, I want to talk to you for 7 minutes over the phone. Let them know it's not going to be 2 hours. And I'm going to want to do this, this, and this. Because if you want to talk on the phone, there has to be a compelling reason. They're busy. So is it an audio? Is it a video? Is it a consult? Are you going to give them a solution to their problem? Are you going to make them have more energy? Those type of things are what you're looking for.
Okay. I can certainly do a mini survey that will solve their health problem or answer their unhealth question.
Yeah, people love an analysis or a survey or something to help them out. And then if you did the 10 common health mistakes or 5 common health mistakes that people don't know, or the 5 things that you're eating that are killing you. People
okay.
love that type of information because they want to be healthy. And that's, if you talk about the 2 big things people are really concerned about right now are health and wealth.
Right.
And with an opportunity like that, you're really actually dealing with both. Here's the wealth side. Well, the opportunity would be the wealth side.
Okay.
Does that help?
That does help. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. Any other questions out there? You got a question?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Tom.
This is Christine.
Could you repeat
this is Christine
the equation?
We'll have Christine go first. Go ahead, Christine.
Okay, this is my first call. I feel like I'm jumping in the middle, and I'm not really sure how this is supposed to work and what's expected of me.
Well, let me tell you. What we do every week is kind of give you a persuasion. The goal is this. Take 15, 20 minutes, give you a persuasion tool, and then some homework, and then take questions. That's the goal of this call. So we're talking about different persuasion principles that will help you out and help your presentation. So that's kind of what we want to do. And if there's an area that you're feeling a weakness, you can ask a question. I can recommend one of the audios. Those are different things that we'll do on this call.
Okay, so I've got a lot of different things that I do. A lot of it is not working, and I'm kind of trying to find some focus, some direction, some ways to fix what I have so that it works.
What is your biggest obstacle right now?
I'm not bringing in enough business.
Why?
I don't know.
What is your business?
Well, I'm a chiropractor with a specialty in nutrition. I also do internet marketing. I've got some books I've written. I've got websites. I've got newsletters. I've actually put out some special offers with real big discounts to my email list a couple times and didn't get a single response. And it's like I'm kind of at wit's end where the roadblock is, why things have come to, it's almost like a halt here.
How big is your list?
Over 4,000.
So these are 4,000 local people on your chiropractor list, or?
This is 4,000 on my internet marketing list.
And why did they subscribe?
Well, I have a variety of web pages, landing pages out there where people can go to my websites and sign up for a newsletter, or they can sign up for a special report through one of my landing pages. They get some free information. I also offer a free nutritional consultation if they sign up through my nutrition website. And one of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of people sign up, but they don't follow through. So I have a lot of people signing up for the nutritional consultation, but I don't do very many of them because either they don't answer the phone, they don't. I've had people even hang up on me, or they just they give me a dead phone number that's not legitimate. So I'm frustrated.
So when they do the consult with you, is there any type of gift or anything that you're giving them?
When they do the consultation,
mm-hmm.
Basically the consult, I offer them a free consultation so that to help them find out what they may need in terms of, you know, nutrition, healthy eating, what I offer some advice on what's going on in their life and make recommendations to how they can solve their issues. And the purpose of that basically is to sell my nutritional services.
Because a lot of people, when they sign up for those things, it sounds interesting at the point, but then they're always so scared that you might persuade them to do something, which ultimately is your goal. So a lot of times with a consult, is there any type of bonus or gift that you can give them just for going through the consult?
Well, I hadn't thought about that. I can think about that.
Well, there's two things with the consult. What percent of the people will listen to you, and what percent of the people will you can't get a hold of?
Lately, you know, so it's about five new names in the last, you know, bit of time. I've probably gotten hold of one person, and she wanted. A lot of people on my list are financially strapped, and they want the free information, but they don't want to spend money. That's another issue that I've had, and so I need to try and find a target, my target market, where they want my services and they have the money to spend on them.
Well, there's two things. I mean, because that's a knee jerk reaction. A lot of times, they don't have the money to where the value's there. They're more than happy to do it. There's a lot of issues that we're talking about. Well, the one thing I want you to think about as you look at your list is can. So you're getting a hold of about 20% of the people, right? Is that kind of just ballpark?
It depends on the title that I put in on my email. Sometimes, you know, it's around 20%. Sometimes it's less.
I would, for now, I mean, we got a lot of issues that we can talk about here, but I think the biggest thing is, have you ever done a webinar before or PowerPoint type presentation on your... on your presentation?
I've done numerous webinars. Usually they're recorded.
Good. This is what I'm getting at. If you're not getting a hold of 80% of the people, you need to have a 10-20 minute webinar with a call to action that you can send them. Hey, I couldn't get a hold of you. Here's a webinar that we talked about that'll give you the five solutions that will do this, this, and this. And at the end of that, you have your what you want them to do. Does that make sense?
Yes. The one time I tried to do a live webinar, I only had like one or two people show up.
I'm not talking about a live webinar. I'm talking about recorded. Say, I try to get a hold of you. I want to do this, this, and this. Here is the webinar that will help you out. In three bullets, it's going to solve their problem. And we're talking about solving their problem. Some people, it's live, you know, but now that's a little less, it's a little distance. It's not as intimidating is talking to a live person who's going to try to sell them something, and it's there. You know, 10, 20 minutes, and you have a call to action that's going to offer them something that you want.
Okay, that's it.
I think that right there, that's the first step. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can talk about, but I think that's the first step for you is to be able to do that and to where they have an option to do that. So that will increase what you're doing.
Okay, thank you. This is good.
You bet. There's another question out there? Anybody? I thought there was.
You mentioned perhaps doing a webinar to the other woman who just talked. Can you do that yourself? Can you sit at your computer and put together a taped webinar that you can distribute to multiple people?
Absolutely. There are a lot of great resources out there, depending on its... what is that web? I was just looking at one. I was trying it the other day. Let me Google it here real fast. A little over time. For those that need to go, the recording will be posted at ypersuasion.com. Let's see. Anymeeting.com. Anymeeting.com is a free web conference service that will record your webinars for you. The challenge with that is that they have advertising. That's why it's free. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is Camtasia, which is an incredible software that will record your voice to any type of PowerPoint or anything you have on your computer screen. that you can turn into a webinar and post it online as an MP4. Hopefully those terms make sense to you. But that's another one. That's the Camtasia, spelled C-A-M-T-A-S-I-A. It's, I think the software's called TechSmith, TechSmith.com. That's what I use. If you ever seen any of the videos that I use Camtasia. And you can post that online, and the people can watch it. Very simple, very easy. So those are the two sources that you can do if you want to record something, especially if you can't get a hold of somebody. Okay, here, watch this video. It's 5 minutes, it's 10 minutes, and it's very, very helpful.
Okay, Camtasia was C as in car, A-M-T-A-S-I-A?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Great. Great software. It'll record whatever on your record your voice to whatever on your screen, whether it be a PowerPoint or something else. Great. That's what I use personally, and it's great. And they have a 30-day trial if you want to try that out, or you can just go to anymeeting.com.
Okay. But again, it makes sense to attach your voice to a presentation with either of these then. Is
sure.
that correct?
Both will do that, yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions out there? All right, so the big thing to think about this week is choices. Give people choices. That's what they want, even though they all win for you. That makes a big difference. And I'll post the audio at ypersuasion.com. Give me 24 hours to do that, and we will see you next week. So with that, everyone have a great week. Go out and persuade with power, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Bet. We'll see you.
Okay.